You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to Fix It and Flip It. The current real estate market is ripe for rehabbing. If you want to learn how to buy the right property at the right price and learn how to project and control costs, then you've come to the right place. Our host, Tony Raffin, is from the number one REMAX team in southeastern Michigan. And Kevin McClellan is Mr. Flipper Extraordinaire. Now, let's welcome Tony and Kevin. This is Fix It and Flip It.
Wow.
Episode Sorry. Number two, Tony.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
This is
We're back. Yeah. We made it.
Show number two. Now let's show you how this goes around.
We're a little late. We apologize for that.
We started podcasting with Paul Apostolakis at Omega Lending.
What's up, everyone?
And guess what? Paul is our special guest today.
I'm on the other side.
Yes.
I'm on the other
side. You're the special guest.
I'm the guest.
We're running this show.
I don't even
we're running this damn thing.
I don't even know what to do.
Right. Just shut up and listen. Right.
Neither do we. Join the club. Neither do we.
I don't know what I'm doing. Okay.
Hey, you know, we got some great topics today. Basically, our most important thing we're going to talk about is how to finance a property, what the return on investment is, talking about the different terminologies that we're going to be using today. But I did want to give you a little heads up. Zillow, the gorilla in the room.
The elephant in the room. Gorilla, same thing.
Zillow is now buying and flipping properties. So they'll use an agent to buy a property, and then they'll get another agent to sell it. They won't let the
That's interesting.
Not like you, Kevin.
I mean, you're a big advertiser. You're a big customer. You're a premier agent of Zillow.
You're feeding them, bud.
Feeding the pig.
Yeah.
But they've it sounds like they've gone through a transition over the last, year or so?
They've been going through a lot of transitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're just doing the natural thing, man. You know, they're looking for ways to capitalize on the market.
Diversify.
And that's taking market share from the people that feed them, which is kind of fucked up.
It is interesting. Yes. It is interesting to go from, you know, an online, I don't want to say e-commerce thing, but an online thing to now wanting to actually buy physical, right? Go into the physical world of buying homes, renovating them, selling them, and making money that way. I mean, I know what it takes to do one of them. I heard they're going to try to do a thousand a month or something.
Well,
like
if you
that.
Consider that, how many agents do they have working for them? Hey, we're going to pay you a commission. And then they'll take another premier agent like me and say, "Hey, Tony, we need you to go sell this house. This is what our Zestimate says it's worth."
Yeah,
you know, and then they sell it. So yeah, they want to capitalize on every aspect of the market. Do I blame them for it? No. Is it going to hurt anything? I don't really think it's going to be that big. If you take 1,000 homes times the whole United States, maybe a few in every market. Kevin, as hard as it is today to find a flip, how's Zillow going to find it?
That's exactly what I was just going to say. You took the words out of my mouth. I don't understand how they're going to do that. It's going to be very, very interesting to see. I know how hard it is. You know, I have to vet every property, and I'm the decision maker,
right,
if you will. I mean, I can't really, at this point, I don't have anybody in place to make that decision for me of do I buy this house or not. I can't go down to Florida and put my toes in the sand and have somebody decide if we're buying a property and going to renovate it and give it to the guys and have the crew do it.
You're not against that, though, are you?
Well, no, that'd be great. Okay. But I mean, maybe 5 or 10 years. But, you know, I know how many I go through, like we talked about in the past, to get one. And how sharp the numbers need to be and that margin that needs to be there. I just wonder who's going to be, how they're going to find that many project managers, how they're going to find that many decision makers, how they're going to identify that. And I get it. They're Zillow. I get it. They see every property. That's fine. I can go on Zillow and see all their properties as well. And they might have some other avenues. But it's going to be really interesting to see how long this lasts and the profitability if we're ever able to find that out of how well this goes
for
them.
It won't last. And here's all, it's not a commodity. It's not like, look, this is basically what Amazon did. And they're trying to be like the Amazon of real estate, right? But the difference is Amazon sells products, right? Our business is different, in my opinion, man. Like you can't just make this into an Amazon because you need relationships. It takes skill. It takes a lot more like in depth. Like, you got to know if the wall, like when you walk into a house, you're already looking for stuff. Zillow can't do that from a million miles up here, right?
Yeah.
Where Amazon could do that. They can buy grocery stores. They can, you know, they can do this. They can do those. Are just products.
There's management teams in place when
right.
you do that.
That's already. Different. But when we're talking about real estate, look, a million people have tried to do mortgages, like you know, like Walmart was going to do mortgages or this company's going to do it. Doesn't work, dude. It's a relationship. You got to dig deep. It's much more complicated than just selling a book or selling some shoes or selling some groceries. This is not the same thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're just being a transaction. The Amazons are just transaction coordinators, the eBays, things like that. And that's what Zillow essentially is, taking, you know, buyers, sellers, agents, putting them together.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting getting into a whole nother. I mean, they're trying to like reinvent their business model a bit. So, I mean, Tony, how do you think that's going to play out for them?
I think Paul's right.
I appreciate that.
I was never afraid of it, just like I was never afraid of Yahoo was going to start selling houses and Zillow was going to start selling houses. Zillow doesn't want to sell houses. They invited us down a couple years ago to a all expenses paid, believe it or not. They paid for our trip out there and everything. And they basically said it, look, we don't want to sell houses. We want to be the guy, because they know how to market, plain and simple. They know how to market. The computer systems are very sophisticated. The algorithms are sophisticated, but they're not perfect. That's why we know Zestimates don't work. What's a Zestimate for? It's so you pick up the phone and get mad and say, my house is worth more than that. And you call me. And then I tell you the truth. You're right, sir. It is worth more than that. Zillow's just got a Zestimate.
Right.
And their Zestimate is an algorithm, and it doesn't work because all houses aren't the same. They're not in the same condition. All it is throwing numbers in a computer and spitting shit out.
Yeah, I just –
you know, you put bad stuff in, bad stuff comes out. It's plain and simple.
I don't believe – I'm going to go on a limb and say it's going to fail. I believe it wholeheartedly. It's going to fail. They might make some money, might scrape by, but it's not going to like affect you.
Yeah.
It's not affecting you.
No, not at all.
Right? Neither was that – like look – these companies are going to try to – our industry is too like complicated to do on a million – like when you're a million miles above, it's not going to work. Redfin wants to do this and this person wants to do that and this company is going to buy your house and sell it. None of that stuff is replacing us. I believe that. Like the human like element out of what we do is not going away.
Yeah, I mean, how many people do we know that have tried going out of state, down to Florida, out to Arizona, and have tried reinventing their operation in renovating and flipping and selling and failed?
It doesn't work. Everybody I know is opening an office in another area.
Yeah.
I had an office in California, and when we were doing bank foreclosures, it was different. The banks were dealing with us. They knew us. We were selling 250 houses a year in California, but we got the inventory from one basically a couple separate banks, which we had relationships. We could have opened up anywhere in the country. But once that's gone, doing that and having a real grasp on what you're doing, that's why nobody's ever really gotten big as a team. I got a guy that was in our office, a top player, and he quit, went to Keller Williams because they're going to help him open an office in Phoenix and Texas and Denver and Chicago. And it's like, what are you, out of your mind?
Dumb.
Yeah. It's not going to work.
Here's the deal, dude. Do you want, like, I'll give you a really, like an example that I like to live by. Okay. If you're going to get your house appraised, do you want a guy from Florida coming up here and appraising your house?
Absolutely not.
We have problems with that. Guys just coming from the west side of the state, right?
Yeah.
Or the west side of the
county.
I don't
want a guy coming from Novi
because they don't know
home.
The market,
right?
You've got to be entrenched in the market that you're living in and understand what's going on in it. No, like no company that's like a million miles away is going to be able to do that on a big quality scale. You might be able to do it, but the quality is going to suck. You're going to get less for your money. These flips are going to suck. People aren't going to want to buy them. Like, it's not going to work.
I mean, I just look at what I have to deal with in terms of getting the property, the funding, going to the city, dealing with the city on these permits. I mean, they're because
Zillow's going to deal with the permits.
That's what I'm like. I'm shocked at to hear
hello,
this.
This is Zillow.
Listen, if they're just going to wholesale,
idiots,
and tack on $3,000 or $5,000 and try to flip them that way and sold as is condition, then I see maybe if they're able to somehow get them before they hit the market. I don't know. It might work, but to do what me and other investors that actually do full renovations and permit everything with the city. Right. And go through a full 6 to 10 week renovation. Call this, you know, you call in for your rough inspections, call in for your final inspections.
Dude, if
deal
it was
with
that
the lawn,
easy,
who's
dude,
taking care of the lawn on the project? Dude. Who's taking care of the exterior? I mean, there is so much. It's a baby. I have to baby this house literally and go
boots
by every.
I tell everybody that we had a guy wanted to come into town to buy some houses in our area. Right. he wanted to buy, I don't know, he had $180,000 and wanted to buy 10 houses in Detroit. And I started laughing. I says, you got boots on the ground? He goes, what are you talking about, boots on the ground? I said, if you are not here watching these houses, they're going to strip them. I don't care whether you're Detroit or Roseville or Warren or wherever the hell you're at. If your house is vacant and people target your house, you're going to come back and it's going to miss that furnace you just put in it or those appliances that were just in it. And they're going to look like contractors pulling up in a contractor truck with a fake sign on it and all your stuff is gone. Yeah. You've got to be here.
You know, for an example, like we talked about with the decision maker in Zillow, I got a buddy out in California. He started investing in this area. And he sent his main guy by to look at a project. And his main guy kind of forgot to tell him about how bad the wall was bowing in on the foundation on the front of the house.
Whoops.
And just said, you know, we could just do some tuck pointing and it'd be okay.
Whoops.
Yeah. I mean, he tagged it as like a $500 repair. It ended up being an $8,000 repair.
Whoops.
Yeah. So needless to say, my buddy, when he came into town and put his eyes on it and looked at his budget and said, that's going to eat the majority of my profit.
That was it. It's gone.
And, like, he still had to go through it. He just got it done on the market, and it looks good. But, I mean, and thankfully the market's gone up, so he'll make a little bit of money. But I know him, and he would not have bought that house at that price if he had put his eyes and saw what he saw. So even with a video walkthrough and a FaceTime and pictures and everything else, unless you're the actual investor, at least if you're not the guy that makes decisions and actually calls the shots on the project.
Spending your money,
right, and not reaching, like we talked about, for a property, then it's going to be difficult to make money. So we'll see. I mean, we can talk about all we want.
I'm going to give Zillow some advice. Stick to what you do well, man.
Correct.
I mean, you found a niche in the market, which is pretty hard to do in the first place. You found a good little niche.
Huge, billion-dollar company.
You know, you guys are doing good. Stick to what you know. Stop trying to do stuff that you don't know how to do and not do it well. I mean, look, I know you guys think you're smarter than everybody else in the world, but it's just not going to work. So, Zillow, if you're listening, don't be an idiot. What's going on right now?
I'm echoing, guys. I'm sorry.
Can you turn the phone off?
I was looking on our Facebook live.
You want to watch yourself while you do
my God.
Narcissist.
That's what I was going to say.
Let's move forward and get off of this narcissistic
what
subject.
What the hell was that?
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Paul.
I apologize. It's a shit show, isn't it?
Hey, at the end of the day, we'll see if Zillow can
do
it.
I'm embarrassed. Look at my face. It's red. Thank God it's a podcast. Like my mother would say, you have a face for radio.
At least it was important.
Okay, let's, you know, first of all, in order to start a flip, you got to be able to buy it.
Yeah,
so let's talk about some of the ways that we have to buy it. Number one, cash. Cash is king. Yes, Your Highness. And you can usually get a deal when you're going up against people, even pay a little bit less than somebody with a conventional
loan. Yeah, let's let everybody understand that if you have to go get a conventional loan and need 30 days, the guy with cash is going to get the property.
Every time.
I mean, really, unless you have an in on the property and the people know you, it's a family member, relative, neighbor, and they said you have the first right of refusal, we'll wait for you and work with you. Honestly, probably don't.
That happens all the time.
Yes.
Right. I'm just putting it out there. I mean, just don't waste your time.
So, Paul, going into that, what do you have for financing options for a non-owner occupied flip?
There's a lot of options. There really are. And there's some conventional ways and there's some non-conventional ways, right? Again, realistically, cash is the best way. You can get a mortgage. You know, you put 15% or 20% down. You can get a mortgage.
You have mortgages at 15% down for an investor now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You can buy an investment property with 15% down. So you've got a little bit of cash. You finance the rest. Beautiful. The problem with that sometimes is if you're buying a flip, you're not going to get all the money that you need all the time.
Right.
Right.
Still need renovation costs.
You need renovation costs. So you're buying the house. It's worth $100,000 today. You still have to put $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 into it, right?
Maybe that's where you partner with somebody that has a little cash, right?
Right. Now, there's something that's interesting that I had some people start doing. There's all these, like, I don't know if you like, there's like, what are these loans called? They're like, they're not like
hard money.
No, they're not hard money. It's like Prosper or like these other, like, you can get $35,000 at like 8%.
I get those in the mail all the time. You must get one every week.
Yeah, exactly. So I've had some guys actually use those because that you get your money in like a week and a half.
Oh, it's basically like a line of credit, unsecured line of credit.
Right.
Not a credit card, but.
Line of credit, hard money. I mean, it's.
No, I think a line of credit's a little bit different.
It's a personal loan. It's what it is. It's a personal loan.
Which we have lost interest in personal loans since the crash. You didn't see a lot of personal loans.
They're all bad.
So now they're coming back.
You can get them. Dude, honestly, you can get it at like 6%.
Unsecured or
Unsecured, 6% personal, up to $35,000.
Can you let everybody know what the difference is just if they don't know? I know it's simple, but.
So between unsecured?
Yeah.
So unsecured is basically just money that isn't secured by any assets, right? You don't have anything backing it.
Your good name.
You just your name, your credit, you're backing it, you're promising to pay back, and you've got a good track record of doing that. So that's one way. So you can get some extra cash flow. You let's say you finance the house. And then you do one of these loans and do the renovation. Boom, you've got the money you need. That's
okay.
One way.
Okay.
There's also hard money loans, right? There's a lot of people out there right now that will give you short-term financing. But the problem with those is you're paying a lot of money for them.
What do you mean you're paying a lot of money?
So you're going to pay a few points. Like they'll charge you 3, 4, 5 points on the deal right up front. Right?
So let's use $100,000 as an example.
So a point is 1% of the loan amount, right? Okay. So if I'm a hard money guy, I go, listen, I'm going to give you $100,000. You got to pay me 4 points up front. That's $4,000 up front.
Right then up front.
That's a fee. That's not interest.
Not interest. Yeah. You're paying that. That's upfront money for me to give you the money, right?
Okay, so now you're $4,000 into it.
$4,000 into it. And on top of that, you're probably paying like 10%.
A month.
Right. Exactly.
No, well, that's not an annual.
Annually, right. Yeah, but you're still paying the payment, right?
Right.
And it's short term. They want their money back within 6 months.
Correct.
Right? So it's like a loan shark.
So on $100,000, you're at, what, another $1,000 a month? Is my math.
I mean, I can figure that
interest?
Out.
In interest?
Yeah.
That's roughly a little bit less, 0.8%. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
So you're probably going to be in the whole, call it, if, after the reno, everything, call it $10,000.
Right.
For $100,000. And that's
For 6 months.
For 6 months. So that's probably more, but like somewhere in that
range.
It's
expensive, but again, if you have a $30,000 to $40,000 profit margin and that's your only option,
yes.
Would you trade 10 for 30 or 10 for 40?
If the dollars make sense, right?
Yeah.
If it makes sense, if I can borrow 10, it costs me $10,000, but I can make 30. Why not?
I'll do it.
Right. What if I'm a homeowner right now?
It's a great question. So a lot of homeowners right now have a lot of equity in their house, man. Right? A lot of these people
put another $1 trillion in equity in the economy in the last year.
Especially if you bought in the last 7 years.
Yeah.
So what happens? How do I get my hands on that money right now?
Talk to me. You're the banker.
So you can either do a refinance, which I think in this situation doesn't make a lot of sense. You can do home equity lines. Some places right now are going to 95% of the value of your house. Right. So if you
we're not going back to those days, are we?
I mean, they're there, man. I mean, but it's OK. Again, if it's done responsibly, like it's OK. Right.
Yeah. You're not buying a jet ski or a boat or a snowmobile. You're buying some something that's going to generate some income
100%.
For you. And it's not like you're gambling in the stock market and don't know what's going on.
Agreed. So you and the rates on those are really low. They're like 4 or 5%. And then like the fees on them are like $400 to get it done.
Right.
So if you have equity in your house, that's secured. Right.
Yeah.
It's being backed by your home. So it's a lot safer for the lender to do that.
And what I like about the equity line for the viewers is that it's not technically a loan that you have to spend and start paying interest or a payment on. You use it as you need it.
Exact
amount. You tap into that equity. You draw it when you need it.
Yep.
You only pay interest on that amount.
Yep.
When you have that recovered, you can put it back on the line. You're not paying interest or a payment on it at that
time. It's like an open credit line. It's a credit card based on your house, basically.
Exactly. It's usually a large amount. I mean, normally you can get 30, 40, 50, 60,000.
$100,000.
Yeah, depending on the equity in your home, sure. It's one of the best ways, I think, to tap into some equity.
By far.
And it's a better interest rate. And then you also got credit card cash advances, which is how I bought my first house, credit card cash advances.
Dude, I mean, you can get as aggressive as you want.
Yeah.
But again, it's got to make sense.
Sure.
Right? Like, I don't want to see people out there like pulling like 100K out on a black card to buy a house if that house is going to, if it's your first flip.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Careful.
Yeah. Be careful.
So, okay, speaking of pulling it out and
what?
What? This guy's got a mind.
Where do we go?
Earmuffs.
So now we're talking about the ways to get the financing and to get that done. But where's the formula? You know, let's talk about ROI or return on investment or NOI, net operating income, and what that means as far as to the
end user.
The end user, because an ROI is basically return on investment. What am I going to get after I sell it? What's left? An NOI is your net operating income, which could be a rental. So I know our show is called Fix It and Flip It, but what if we fix it and keep it like Kevin did with his first 20 houses?
Yeah. I mean, look, I've got a lot of people right now that are holding onto their houses because rents are going up, right? So it's not a bad move to do a reno, especially if you get it at a right price. And if your return on your investment is good, do it.
How do we figure return on investment?
Well, you figure out what the pay, like if you're like for me, it's like if you're renting it for $1,000 a month, right? And you have a mortgage payment of $600 a month and you borrowed money on that house. Well, leverage that, have the payment on it. Don't pull, you know, keep because I think cash is king, right?
Yeah.
If you have a house that's paid off, you don't want to rent that. You want to pull your money out of that so that you can have that capital, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if your payment's $600 a month, but you're renting it for $1,000,
you make $400 cash.
It's passive income. You're getting that every single month.
But how do you figure out what that net operating income is? I'm looking for your answer.
Well, net operating income would get into the net operating income is going to get into all your operating. We would need a flow chart here of all your operating.
Let's give
our listeners a simple one.
A return on your investment is if I bought a house for $80,000, I put $20,000 into it. I'm all in. And after I pay my 7 or 8% in closing costs on the back end, because the seller pays that, okay, and I'm into it for $100, I sell it for $120, I walk with $112. I've made $12,000 on a $100,000 investment. I made a 12% return.
Now let's capitalize on that better. How many times did you do that this year? Twice.
Yeah.
So if you do it twice, the 12% interest that you made
compounded,
it's actually 24%.
Correct.
So now you got a 24% return on $100,000.
You can't get that anywhere.
That's, you can't.
No.
Because right now, what's our interest rates in the bank? 1.875?
It might as well be zero, dude.
Okay. I know. It's nothing. Inflation is higher than that.
Yeah, right. You're losing money.
So let's go to net operating income. You buy a house to flip it, it's not going to work. The spread's too thin.
You got to hold on to it.
You got to hold on to it. So how do we do our net operating income? We figure that let's say the house is worth, or you got $100,000 invested into it. You collect $1,000 a month rent.
Yep.
Your payment on that $100,000 is $500.
Yep.
Taxes and insurance is another $300. That's $800.
Yep.
So your positive cash flow, $200 a month, 200 times 12 is $2,400.
Yep.
$2,400 divided by $100,000 is 2.4% return on investment.
Yep.
That's terrible.
It's not great the way you just did it. No.
No.
But if you do it 10 times.
Well, if you have, yes, but let's say this way. The numbers I gave you were real simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
An actual $1,000 rental, yeah, you're paying $100,000 is too much.
The reality is that isn't a realistic scenario.
No, but $1,500 would probably be a little bit more so,
for
or $1,400.
Sure. Yep.
So now you just upped your ante from $200 a month to $700 a month. Now, $700 a month times 12 is $8,400. $8,400. From that is 8.4%.
Right.
So you take the 8.4%, and what's the thing that we did not figure out here? The value of the property in the next year.
That's what people forget sometimes.
The appreciation?
Inflation.
Inflation?
Appreciation.
Appreciation. Right. Yeah, appreciation. Appreciation is a gift.
Oh, you said it better.
Yeah, it's appreciation.
Appreciation.
Yeah. So like, that's another thing, right? You might only be making 4% on that money.
Right.
But you're also probably making another 3-4% on the appreciation.
Sure.
Correct. And if you bought last year or the year before, you just made 30%
To that point, a lot of guys that I know in the investment game started buying all these multifamily, 30, 40, 60, 70, 80 unit apartment buildings.
You know,
back 5 years ago, 7 years ago, the return was minimal.
Yes. And
the cap rate was like 5-6%.
Yep.
I don't think it was really worth it. Cap rate's another one we get into. It's similar to net operating income. But now, because of what the market's doing, they're going in, they're pulling guys together, they're doing syndicates essentially, and they're buying these, 50, 100 unit apartment complexes, just looking to simply get a little cash flow, but more importantly, just ride the equity train for maybe the next 5 or 10 years and cash out retirement.
That's what a lot of people are doing.
So that brings me to another point.
There we go.
All right.
Our tax ramifications.
Oh, capital gains.
Capital gains. There's a way to get around them, and there's a way to pay them. Mm-hmm. So let's say
defer them.
Defer them. That's the best way to drop. The rich people in New York, they do what's called a 1031 exchange. It's the code of the IRS section of the IRS 1031, which allows you to take the sale of this, transfer it to another property, and defer the capital gains until it's actually sold and cashed out.
But I want people to understand, to do that, it's not like you sell it, you hold the money, and you can do whatever you want with it.
There's timelines.
There's timelines. It's got to be held in an escrow account with a title company. You don't have access to that money, right? So if I made $100,000 and I want to do a 1031 exchange, well, I have, like, I think it's
45 days to identify
the property. And then you've got another, I think,
6 months.
Months total.
To close on it.
Total.
Don't quote us on all this. We know just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, but it's 45. Within 45 days, you have to identify the property.
That's what I don't like. So that's what I don't like.
You got to be under contract, basically.
Well, and especially when the properties are so hard to find. I mean, unless you're just buying anything and you're okay with a 5 or 6, 7%, like some of these doctors and whatnot.
Correct.
That are buying these plazas,
yes,
and these multi-unit, that's fine. It's like, okay, just give me that one.
Right.
But if you're an investor who is selective and disciplined and wants a 15 to 20, 25%.
It pushes you.
I think it makes you reach and be on discipline.
It puts you in a bad spot.
What if that property that you want just isn't there in your sweet spot in your area? So, I mean, I think there's pluses and minuses. You know, we talked about the 1031 all the time. And, I mean, unless you have a couple lined up in that pipeline and it's no-brainer and you're not worried, you're not reaching, you're not stretching for a property.
In a market like today with, very with hard, the seller's market, it? It's very hard.
Well, you nailed it, though. They've got to be lined up.
Yeah.
You've got to be, like, when you're like, almost finished with your project, you got to already start looking for the next one, right?
Yes. It's almost got to be ready to just to close on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. So, right. you because that 45-day window today, it's tiny.
That's quick.
Right. Seems like a lot. Like in your brain, it's nothing.
So let's say it doesn't work. Then you got to pay capital gains. Mm-hmm. Our short-term capital gains is holding a property for 12 months or less. Now, that tax rate right now for short-term is actually whatever your taxable income is.
It's just taxable income, right?
So if you're a player and you're in the 39% tax bracket, you're paying 39% short-term capital gain.
Because it's income. Right. Correct. It's taxed as income.
Yeah. If you're one of those slow flippers that takes a property for 12 months, then you could go in at 0 to 20% depending upon what your income, but you're capped at 20% on a long-term capital.
Yeah, that's why I have a lot of people, you know, pose me, well, why don't you just every property you buy, rent it out for 12 months and then sell it? You know,
dude, because that does. I mean, that doesn't.
Well, matter. No, for me, yeah. so they yeah. don't get it. How fast I want to turn the capital. Yeah. I've done my numbers, and I know if I can turn that $1 2.5 times a year, I'm way ahead of the game. I'll pay Uncle Sam. I'll pay the taxes and be fine with it.
Yeah.
But if you're not as aggressive and you want to work around some of the taxes, and
maybe you got a full time job.
Yeah, and you feel justified, and you don't want to pay as many taxes. I don't know. I mean, go ahead then and rent it out. It's not a bad idea. What I don't like is going in, renovating a property to the nines and putting $40,000-$50,000 renting it out and hoping 12 months later it looks the same to go put it on the market, to go put it on the market to get top dollar for it, like I know I could get now. Yeah. So, I mean, it's
can I say something about this? Like, look, if you're making money, pay taxes.
Exactly.
Like it's a byproduct of making money.
I know.
Right? So, like, I'm not afraid to pay taxes. I'm not.
Like, people say that to me all the time. They're like, oh. You must write a big check to the government. And I say, yeah, I do.
Yeah, but I make 10 times that amount.
But I mean, it's commensurate. It's relative, commensurate and relative to what I'm making.
I want to pay a lot of taxes.
I literally look at them and I'm like, I don't know what to say to that.
We can make 30 G's a year and not pay any taxes.
I think that's the mentality. That mentality is a...
is a loser's mentality.
A loser's mentality. Yeah. I don't want to pay taxes. Well, then you don't want to make money.
Yeah. It's a scarcity mentality, right? I think I think we live in a world of abundance, right? There's a lot of opportunity everywhere around us. So to have to pay the tax man, that means you're probably doing a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it, right?
I mean, be smart about it. Get a good accountant if you're in real estate, if you're in whatever. I mean, get a good accountant, write off the proper write-offs.
Yes.
If you want to do a 1031 to defer.
Sure.
I mean, work the angles like these big companies do. We're not saying not to do that, but.
Don't be afraid of it. Yeah. Don't let the taxes dictate your moves.
I mean, if you're going to make $40,000 on a property and you have to pay $10,000.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
I know he wasn't
I'm
there.
I'm not going to do it then.
You poor little
I'm not. I'm not going to do it then.
You made $30,000.
I'll pass. Oh. Thank you.
I'll wait.
I'll pass.
Hang on to it. Wait for
would
the economy to dip.
Would you rather have $30,000 in your pocket today or wait and have a lot of things go wrong?
Yeah.
That's my point, right? It's like trying to navigate this and trying to push things off. There's a lot that, like you said, someone lives in the house for 12 months, they burn it down, or they have a dog that scratches up the floors, or you know what I mean?
Listen, I have a ton of rentals, and even my great tenants. Life happens.
They're used.
Kids, dogs, scooters into the baseboard. I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah.
You've all seen it. There's no way that my house is going to look the same. I'm not going to be able to pull. I'm probably going to lose $5,000 or $10,000 in value. So then I collect $10,000 in rent for the year. To me, it's just a wash.
Yeah.
I don't really like that model of renting it out for 12 months to get past that short term.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people understand the short term and long term capital gain. It's not a set 15% and 30% or
no.
Or
no
like
well, people hear capital gains.
Well, they did change this year.
Yeah, but for sure. But people hear it and get freaked out. I've seen it, right? And something that people – we were just talking about this. It's prorated, right? You've been in the house for a year and 11 months, right? You're not getting hit for the full 2 years anyways.
That's correct. We didn't talk about that because that's what we were talking about, whether you're going to buy the home as an owner-occupied investment or a non-owner-occupied, Kevin, which yours are non-owner-occupied. You never move into them.
They're different, right?
But let's say someone like Sal – who bought the house across the street, Sal is your partner on Omega Lending. He buys the house. He's going to fix it up and live in it at the same time.
Yep.
He stays there for a year and a half.
Yep.
Well, there's a new law out. Well, it's not new. It's been around for a little bit. But as a single man, you're allowed to make $250,000, a single person, $250,000 tax-free capital gain as long as the property was your principal residence for two of the previous 5 years.
Yes.
So just like you said, well, what happens if I'm only there for a year and 10
People
months?
Freak out, yeah.
It's prorated. So you only got 2 months that you don't get that discount. But in the meantime, you're still getting basically a 95% you know, tax-free capital gain.
I got a buyer that's going to pay me X amount of dollars for my house right now. Oh, I'm going to wait 2 months to sell it, and then what?
The buyer disappears. Right.
Pay the 2 months of capital gains on that and move on.
The market dips 5% and there goes what you're going to save.
Dude, there's just so many variables. Take what you can get when you can get it. That's my motto.
I think that's smart. There's a lot of different creative ways to do it. But if you're going to buy a house, live in it, sell it, flip it into something else, you can make $250,000 tax-free every 2 years.
You know guys that have done that, right?
I got a friend of mine.
I mean, it takes time. Like, I mean,
it does take time.
It's a slow move.
It's a slow move.
But listen.
You better be very patient.
It's like a hobby, though.
And it's like a hobby. Yeah. It's like a retirement thing where I'm just going to, you know, 20 years wake up and have something.
Well, basically, that's what happened. He started out with a house that had an empty lot next to it. So he lived in the little house for a year or so, went to his job every day. Then he got permits and built on the empty lot, you know, split them off. So then he sold the little house after 2 years, moved into the new house, lived in the new house for 2 years, sold that, bought another house with an empty lot next to it, did the same thing. He's done this, I can't tell you how many times, but I can tell you today he lives in a $1 million house that's free and clear, does not owe a dime on it, and it all was made with tax-free money. Legally.
Yeah, I mean, each house he rode the equity train, but he was, let's face it, he probably is not a dumb guy. I don't know him, but he's probably very smart because where as volatile as the real estate's been over the last 20 years, it probably wasn't easy to do. He still had to pick the right properties.
No, it takes some smart.
The right
Once
pieces
again,
of land, so,
yeah.
build
it's
right.
It's not anybody you know. Can do
but
anything.
But he doesn't have a job anymore. Now he works. He's a real estate agent now. Yeah. So he finds deals and he fixes them. But all this construction and you learn a lot of things, just like some of the flips that I've done and some of the rentals I've done. You've had pretty decent luck with rentals.
Yeah.
I haven't. I rented a house that I just got done fixing up. And 3 months later, I got to kick the guy out. We pulled 4 50-yard dumpsters of tires and garbage and a stripper pole in the living room. I'm like, you got to be kidding
really?
Me.
I've had one of those taken out of my houses,
too. Did you keep it?
No, we threw that away, too.
Disinfect it.
But some people, disinfect it. They disinfect them after every use.
I just can't see Tony oiled all up rubbing on that thing.
Okay, so give me one last thing here I wanted to talk about was interest rates. Paul, you know this probably more than anybody, but Kevin, you could tune in on this.
Yeah.
Interest rates right now on a 30-year mortgage are about 4.75%, roughly, correct?
Yep, that's good to know. Yeah, that's
Let's say I get an interest rate of 8%. How's that going to affect me as a buyer? I'm not paying 8%. Forget that. It's not going to work.
In terms of being an investor or a home buyer?
Being an investor.
Dude, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the value and the ability to make a profit is there. Why does that matter? Do you know what I mean?
Because you're holding the property for such a short, whether it's 3 months, nine months.
If you're looking to make a profit, quick profit, to me, the interest rate is just part of the equation that you've got to put everything into and understand that what your cost is versus your and what your profit's going to be. Right? You just put that in the equation. If that 8% is the only way for you to make $30,000. Are you not going to take the 8% to not make $30,000?
Right, because at the end of the day, it's not 12 months.
Who cares?
And even at 12 months at $100,000, it's $8,000 over $4,750.
It's actually cheap. It's actually somewhat cheap money.
Here's it goes back to like paying some out. Like if you want to pinch pennies in this business, you're in the wrong business, dude. You're not pinching pennies. You've got to spend some money to make some money.
What's going to happen though in the owner occupant? Sector, if interest rates go up to 6-7, they start. I mean, I don't know if they'll get
look,
that high.
I mean, it's going to bump some people out of the market. It'll slow things down for sure.
Do you see that happening anytime soon?
I personally think rates are going to go to 7 in the next 3 years.
3 years, not like this year, not like next
year. No, I think by the end of this year, we'll end up at like 5, maybe 5 and an eighth. We'll it's be around 5. Not, we'll be in the 5 range for the rest of the year. I don't see it going much above. It'll be between 4.7, 5 and a quarter. It'll be in that
you'll
range.
Never pick the bottom. You'll never pick the top.
No.
Yeah.
No, but they are going up.
What about where to put money into a house, Tony? I mean, from the realtor standpoint, and I could probably jump in on it. Of if you have $5,000 or $10,000 and you're gonna put your house on the market, but you know it needs some work, how do you tell your clients that where to put that money?
Do the stuff that doesn't cost money first. Like you could pick up a paintbrush and paint.
It's good. Yeah. You know, don't be lazy about it.
I got a broken piece of glass. Let me fix that. This door handle's no good. Let me fix that. I've got a crack in this wall. Let me fix that. Do the
cosmetics.
Cosmetic Simple. Stuff is most important. But honestly, the number one place is the kitchen.
Always.
You could sell a house.
Always.
Number one.
Always.
You could sell a house with a new kitchen and an old bathroom. Or you could sell a house with a new bathroom and an old kitchen, and they're like, the kitchen just brings more value than anything.
Can I add, also, in my opinion right now, knocking down a wall and opening up a space.
Oh, that's huge.
People Come on. Like that's open huge. Spaces.
It's way different. Back in the day where there were like rooms, right? If you can knock down one wall and make a nice open space, like it doesn't cost that much. I mean, you're going to like
– It doesn't.
Potentially, but it's not as invasive, right?
No, it doesn't.
Open up a wall, make it more open, and do the kitchen, in my opinion.
People don't realize how cheap it is to open up a wall.
No.
They're scared because it's holding the house up. It's not –
No, there's nothing there, dude.
Right.
<It's> like,
right.
There's nothing there. I hope by that time you have some contractors in place and you can have your electrician come in and move a couple wires.
Yeah, don't just knock down a wall.
And your HVAC guy moves a vent, and then you put a header in. You know, and you have your rough framer do that.
I opened up a wall in my house and they had a header. They had a notch cut out here and a notch cut out here.
In the header?
Yeah, dude.
It Sturdy.
Was, like, it was being held.
Made you feel good, huh?
I'm like, dude. They're like, we got to reinforce it. I mean, that happens. Yeah. Right?
You got to put a new header in.
And that's what we talked about in the past was you start opening up walls.
Yeah.
And we'll bring some contractors in when we do that on our next show. So listen, the one other thing I wanted to talk about is Dodd-Frank got rolled back last week.
Yeah.
And the economy didn't collapse.
No, we're fine.
Yeah. We're in good shape. It's going to be easier tomorrow.
Well, explain to our viewers what Dodd-Frank was in a nutshell and what it means to roll back.
Dodd-Frank was, in a nutshell, to me, as a realtor, was handcuffs on a lender.
What about you, Paul?
Yeah, so it was regulation put in place to protect the consumer, to get them more educated. The unfortunate reality is when you have politicians making policy on things that they don't understand, it's not always perfect, right?
Right.
I'm a fan of regulation because I think it keeps our market healthy. I'm not a fan of wild, wild west. The reality is our market is so resilient. Yeah. We went through the worst economic crash. We had Dodd-Frank. All this stuff happens and everybody creates a news story. Dude, we keep going forward.
What was the policies, though, that Dodd-Frank, how are they handcuffing
So a couple major things that they did is they changed what was called the good faith estimate to a loan estimate. And the disclosures times, right? So if I have – at the end of the process, we have to disclose what's called the closing disclosure 3 days before. Like there was timelines. It pushed everything back.
So that's gone now?
No, that's still there. Okay. None of that's gone.
Gotcha.
Just the stuff that they got rid of is fluff. But the reality is none of it matters.
Gotcha.
Honestly, none of it matters. We'll figure out ways to get through it. That's my opinion.
And with that's all we got today.
That's it.
Paul, how do our listeners get in touch with you?
Omega Lending.
Omega Lending. Call my cell phone. I actually use
a
cell phone.
Whoa, no way.
Ladies. Yeah,
that's crazy. 586-242-2468. Call it. You can text me. No sexting,
please.
Say
it one more time.
586-242-2468. Or paul@lendomega.com.
And likewise, if you got a property that you just want to sell quick for cash, that's one that's been in the family, want to get rid of it, don't want to list it, call me at 586-855-4041 or go to my Facebook page, Cash, the number 4, Your House Now. And then if you have a house that you want to list on the market or have one identified, your dream home that you want to buy, give Tony and his team a call at
586-773-4400. Or sales@michiganreo.net. That's MICHIGAN for those of you who don't know how to spell Michigan, reo.net. And if you guys got any questions or comments or concerns, please share us down below. And we will be, not yet, we're not on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, or SoundCloud yet, but we will be in a couple weeks. And if you guys like it, leave any questions, comments below. We'll be glad to answer them as quickly as we can.
Yep.
Thanks again.
That'll do it for our second show, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Fix It and Flip It with Tony Raffin and Kevin McClellan. Be sure to stop by our Facebook page, like it, and follow. And come back again next week so you can arm yourselves with the tools and strategies to become a successful real estate entrepreneur. This is Fix It. And flip it.